welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. There's comedy in this hour. Later on, the Jimmy Durante program from 1950. But first, an episode of The Steve Allen Show, which might be an amalgam of different shows, as released by Armed Forces Radio and CBS on June 21st, 1952.
Look, lady,
I'm rehearsing. If you don't mind, kindly close the door and run along.
Oh, evidently I came into the wrong dressing room. I'm sorry, Mr. Heifetz.
Heifetz? Oh, come in. Actually, I'm Jack Benny, but it's a natural mistake. And if I'm not mistaken, you're Miss Arden, Eve, isn't it?
It ain't Yasha. Oh. But if you'll tell me where I can find Mr. Allen...
Oh, please, we don't mention that name here. Now, I'll have to spray the room with sweet air all over again.
Oh, well, Mr. Benny, perhaps I should explain. Steve, you should pardon the expression, Allen, starts his new show tonight, and I'm supposed to help him get it underway.
Oh, Steve Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Steve, yeah. Well, Gene Autry has the room across the hall, and I think you'll find Steve Allen in the dressing room right next to it. That is, if Autry's horse is through using it.
Thanks very much. I'll borrow your sweet air and run along.
Goodbye.
Pardon me, but is this Steve Allen's dressing room?
If you were half a man, I'd thrash you for that.
But I'm not half a man, I'm a woman.
No help, please. I'll find out for myself. Now, what's the idea of barging into my room at this hour of the night without even knocking?
Well, I could say the British are coming, but actually that isn't...
Tell that to Steve Allen. He's dressing with Paul Revere's horse down the hall.
It's Gene Autry's horse, but thanks. That's the room I'm looking for.
You can't miss it, Eve. There's a watering trough and a bucket of apples right outside the window.
Uh-huh.
Under the apple tree. There's a beautiful story behind that apple tree, honey. And if I ever get you behind that apple tree, I'll whisper it to you.
Well, that's very interesting, Mr. Marks, but I
you
really...
You can call me Groucho.
Then you can call me Eve.
Then you can call me Adam, and let's get back to the apple tree.
I really must go now, Miss Mark. Goodbye, Groucho.
You'll regret those words as long as you live.
Let's see, maybe this is Steve's dressing room. It's the last one in this corridor. Pardon me, but... Oh, sorry. I'm looking for Steve Allen. I must be in the wrong dressing room.
No, you're not. I'm just standing here in the corner so Autry's horse can use the makeup table. Television, you know. Miss Arden, may I present my roommate champion?
Oh, how do you do? It's a pleasure to shake your hoof. But, Steve, did I understand you to say he's your roommate?
Yes, this dressing room is known as the one that's shared by Steve Allen and Champion. I'm sorry, Champion and Steve Allen. He's such a ham.
Well, Steve, I certainly wish you luck on your first show.
Well, thanks, Steve. I'll be going on the air any minute now. We better get down to the studio.
Now, remember, Steve, the important thing is not to get nervous.
Yeah, I know.
And don't start biting your fingernails.
What do you mean, start? I've been biting them all day. You see my little finger?
Yes.
That used to be my big finger. Oh, here's the studio.
Say, we're right on time. Eve, you want to sit right here in the wings? I'll introduce you later in the show.
The Steve Allen Show.
Yes, it's the Steve Allen Show transcribed, featuring Irene Woods, the music of Ivan Dinmar, yours truly, Johnny Jacobs, our special guest, Eve Arden, and here's the star of our show, Steve Allen.
Thanks very much, and hello, everybody. To you elderly folks who are out for a nice, peaceful Sunday drive, listening to me in your cars and trying to relax, I'd like to say...
Look out for that truck!
Well, as a new program, as I think somebody already mentioned, we're just sort of feeling our way along here. So if nothing happens for the first 13 weeks, don't get nervous, because I'll be off the air by then. But it really is nice to have so many well-wishers. Jack Benny blew me to a big send-off party at his house last night, and oh, it was great. Jack was a swell host. Water flowed like champagne. And anyway, many of my closest friends were there to honor me. Louis B. Mayer, Clark Gable, Daryl Zanuck, Gene Autry's horse, Phil Harris. You know, I never saw Phil in better spirits. Or vice versa. Or vice versa. Oh, dear. Of course, Eve Arden was there, too, looking as radiant as she did when we first met some years ago under rather romantic circumstances, I might point out. It was in a shoe store. We were... You got something against shoes? Let me see your feet. You take off your left shoe. I'm serious. Just take it off. We'll have a prize for you later. I'll make it worth your while. Go ahead. Just a second. Uh-huh. Six toes. All right. You see, there's a reason for everything. I mean, this fella has got something against shoes. It's a bunion. Now then. Anyway, Eve Arden was at the party, looking as radiant as she did when we first met some years ago under rather romantic circumstances. It was in a shoe store, and we were in the adjoining seats. She took off her shoe, and I took off my shoe, and first thing I knew, we were holding feet. But so much for romance. I'll just skip that and get on to something more important. See what I have. Yeah, here it is. Baseball score just sizzled in over the wires. Wilkes-Barre Orioles, 0. Scranton Cleaners and Dyers, 0. It's all tied up going into extra innings. So keep tuned to this station. We'll interrupt this program whenever we get another score on that exciting game. Incidentally, it isn't necessary for you to react to any of this stuff. However, I suppose it's only fair to tell you that I do get paid by the laugh. That isn't your problem. We'll let my grandmother worry about that. She's the one that needs the operation. That's all right. It's comforting to know that Granny's laughing. Of course, without teeth. But she's there. There's no question about it. Well, let me see what interesting items we have in the newspaper. Here's a beauty hint. Cucumber juice, massaged gently over the fingernails, will improve their growth. However, cream cheese rubbed on a bald head will not improve the cream cheese. You know, I was listening to the radio this morning. I heard some very interesting musical commercials. If I can get to the piano here, I'll show you what I mean. Here's a haunting little thing I heard on one of the programs. There's a great deal of sentiment to it, and if I may change the mood, I'd like to show you what I mean. Go something like this. My sweet, it won't be long before my sweet falls, 'cause I'm gonna pursue her, and I'm gonna woo her with a can of Chef Gabon's meatballs.
Thanks, fellas. You were very exciting. Eileen Woods, come on over here. I think it's your turn now. Listen, I guess everybody knows, but maybe there are three or four people who just got back from the North Pole and don't, that Eileen Woods had the lead. She did the part of Cinderella in the motion picture Cinderella, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You going to sing something from the score tonight?
No. I have an oldie that's being revived about now. Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
I'll listen to all three of them. Here we are.
I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Couldn't sleep and when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. and laugh, but I love it, although the laugh runs me. I'll sing to him each spring to him, and long for the day when I'll cling to him, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I.
Thanks, Eileen. Oh, that was beautiful.
Well, let me see what we have in the mailbag tonight here. A card from a fellow in Chicago says, Dear Mr. Allen, what did you do before you worked in radio? Well, that's a pretty fair question. As a matter of fact, I worked in Chicago. I used to work for the telephone company back there a few years ago. It wasn't very hard work. I just did work about 2 afternoons a week during the summer. Pretty important job, though. I had my own office, and my own desk, and my own special telephone. I just had one thing to do. When somebody would try to make a 10-cent call for a nickel, I used to pick up my phone and go...
Further score on that Scranton-Wilkes-Barre game. Let me see now, who else is here? Oh, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, I should like you to meet a very courageous young lady who braved the ridicule of the Upper Nielsen rating set by consenting to appear on this program tonight. The star of Armis Brooks, Eve Arden.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Eve. Eve and Steve. Sounds like an ice team for one of those morning programs, doesn't it? And after tonight, it could happen to both of us. But it really is swell of you to come to my premiere, Eve. How do you like my setup?
Oh, it's just dandy. On the Armis Brooks Show, my cast is sometimes predominantly female. Whereas with you and Johnny Jacobs and Ivan Dittmars and his boys, your cast is, well, it's so masculine. That's nice.
You like men, I gather?
I like men anybody gathers.
Thank you, girls. Well, we have one man with us tonight, Eve, who's ungatherable. He's a newlywed. Incidentally, he and his wife feel that they're facing a tremendous problem. You see, they both have motion picture ambitions, and they're wondering if two separate careers might endanger the happiness of their marriage. To dispel the fears of these newlyweds, Eve, I'd like to cite the case of two very dear friends of mine, top stars at the same studio. I won't mention any names, but when they were married, Hollywood thought they'd never have a normal life. What happened?
We take you inside the glitter and glamour of a Hollywood studio and into the dressing room of screen siren Mona Meadows. Her producer effervesces enthusiasm.
Mona, wait till you read this script for your new picture. It's dynamite. It's the biggest money-making film of the century. And for your co-star, we're very fortunate in securing the services of that popular matinee idol, Stephen Hartbinder.
That ham bone? He turned down Cecil B. DeMille's last picture because they wouldn't let him play both Samson and Delilah. If I'm to be in this picture, Sam, you'll have to get rid of Stephen Hartbinder.
Well, that makes it rather awkward. He is your husband, you know.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I did have a memo on that somewhere. Well, the very least we can do is to cut his part down.
Yes, when I spoke with him this morning, he suggested we cut your part down.
Oh, that egomaniac. He's always tried to outdazzle me. At our wedding, he came down the aisle with a bigger bouquet than mine.
I've got to have a talk with you, Sam. Glad I caught you alone.
But we're not alone, Steve. You remember your wife.
Wife? Oh, yes. How are you, Mona? I never forget a face.
Dear Stephen.
Good to see you again, darling. I'm looking well. How have you been?
Well, I'll just run along and leave you two lovebirds together. Bye, Mona. Bye, Steve.
Goodbye, Sam. It's been ages since I've seen you, Stephen. Where are you living?
At our house. I'm in the North Wing, you know. You still in the South Wing?
Yes, it's lovely there this time of the year. I opened the windows this morning and it was just beautiful. Sunshine streaming in.
Sunshine? It's snowing at my end.
I half expected you might drop by sometime to see your child.
I have a child?
Born in January. I suppose I should have sent you a note.
A child. Interesting. What is it, a boy or an actress?
A boy. Come to think of it, he has your eyes.
Well, does he have my hair?
Yes, only it doesn't come off. And speaking of things that don't come off, about your part in this picture, Stephen.
Oh, picture. Oh, yes, yes, Mona. You know, I've been thinking lately, well, perhaps if we could get together some night.
How about tonight?
That's fine. We'll meet in the living room at 7:30.
What part of the living room?
You'll find me. I'll drop little scraps of paper wherever I go.
It's me, darling.
Oh, dear, Stephen. Celeste.
Oh, oui, madame.
Take Mr. Hartbinder's coat and hair, please. You seem depressed, dear.
Oh, can't help it. I was listening to the radio driving home.
Really? What's the news?
Doesn't look good. Scranton and Wilkes-Barre are still tied up, nothing to nothing. You know, I'm rather curious to see what my baby looks like. Seems to me you were shooting a picture on location at that time.
Yes, of course. With my leading man, Herman Fangschleister, I was quite busy.
But if you were busy on a picture, Mona, how could you...
Have the baby? Oh, I didn't have the baby myself.
Mona.
I adopted him.
Oh.
When the dog died.
Oh?
I gave him your name.
The dog?
No, the baby. We had such fun romping together, and I used to love the way he'd jump on my lap and bark at me.
The baby?
No.
The dog?
No, Herman Fangschleister. He's so playful. But, darling, let's just talk about you and me. Wouldn't you like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Then let's just talk about you.
Very well. Right now, I'm winding up a romantic film with Lana Latour. Oh, in practically every scene, she hurls herself into my arms, embraces me, and kisses me. How I envy her.
That's fine, but about my next picture...
Well, now that you mention it, Mona, I did bring the script along. You see, I rewrote it a little and fixed up your part. Now, get this. When the picture opens, there I am on stage singing a medley of 27 great songs.
Where am I?
You're in the audience. But for subtle dramatic effect, we don't show you. You see what I mean? Instead, we feel your presence. We sense your spirit.
Look, can't I put on a white sheet and sing the harmony with you? 27 songs.
Oh, no, that's where I go into my dance, Mona.
But what about
my... Well, finally, the camera sweeps out to the audience and moves down the aisle to your chair.
Oh, and now they see me.
No, you've gone. You see, this scene is just loaded with pathos. Now, think of the emotions that run through the audience when they see that empty chair. Don't you get it?
I think I've been getting it all along.
Well, I keep looking out to the audience. The camera keeps showing that empty chair. I keep telling myself that you'll return. We get a close-up of the chair, and finally, sure enough, the curtain comes down, and you don't come back. Well, how do you like it so far?
Well, from what you've told me, I'd like to try out for the part of the chair. Stephen, I'm going to give Sam an ultimatum, and he'll see that your part is cut down to nothing.
Oh, that's what you think, Dumpling.
Dumpling? Why, Toodle, you haven't called me Dumpling since we were married.
And you called me Toodles. Oh, don't you realize what this means, Mona? We've been letting our silly careers blind us to the fact that we're still madly in love. Mona, my sweet, you may kiss me.
Oh, darling, let's forget the mad tinsel of Hollywood and live for... for each other.
Yes, everything will be just as it was. Tonight, we'll have an old-fashioned barbecue in the garden.
And first, a moonlight dip in the pool, diving from the high board. You go dive in. I'll join you in a moment, Toodles.
Yes, yes. Hurry, Dumpling.
Hello?
Mona, this is Sam.
It's all settled, Sam. I'll be doing the picture alone.
Without Steve?
Come over for tennis tomorrow, and I'll tell you all about it.
I'm on the high board, dear. Here I go.
Oh, a perfect swan dive. Oh, Sam, I'll see you tomorrow.
Just a minute, Mona. You said something about coming over for tennis. I didn't know you had a court.
We have now. This morning I had the swimming pool filled with concrete. We haven't had time to dismantle the diving board yet.
I'll see you tomorrow, then. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Sam.
Hello.
Why, Stephen, you're hurt.
It's nothing. Lucky I have thin skin. I can see you through my chest. Give me that telephone.
Why, who are you calling?
The Culligan Soft Water Service. The water in that pool is murder.
Once again, here is Steve Allen.
Well, thanks, John. That just about puts the ribbon around our little package of goodies for tonight. But before we tie the bow, I'd like again to express my sincere thanks to my very gracious neighbors, Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, and, of course, Eve Arden. Before you go, Eve...
Yes, Steve?
I know we've been kidding a good deal about money. However, we don't allow anyone to go away from here empty-handed. So, as you're walking out of here tonight, Eve, if you'll just look down in your hand...
Yes?
You'll find my hand.
Believe me, Steve, I wanted to be here tonight just for kicks. I loved every minute of it, and it's been great fun.
Well, it's mighty decent of you, Eve, but I have figured out a way to repay you. I'll go on your program.
Now you've spoiled everything. Good night, Steve.
Is she wonderful? Well, folks, I'd hoped that we'd wind up the show in a blaze of glory, but the fates have intervened. That Wilkes-Barre Scranton game is still tied up at the end of the... the end of the 23rd inning, nothing to nothing. I'm afraid we'll have to go off the air with... Wait a minute, I got the flash. The game is over, folks. Yes, in the 24th inning, the Scranton Cleaners and Dyers have won the old ball game by a score of 87 to nothing. Now, wait a minute, here's the final line score. Scranton Cleaners and Dyers, 87 runs, 2 hits, no errors. Wilkes-Barre Orioles, no runs, 2 hits, 87 errors.
Good night, everybody, and thanks a million.
This has been the Steve Allen Show with the songs of Eileen Woods and the music of Ivan Ditmar. Produced and directed by Al Spann, written by Joe Quillen and Lester White, the Steve Allen Show comes to you from Hollywood and is a regular presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
The Steve Allen Show on Tuned to Yesterday from CBS and Armed Forces Radio from June 21st, 1952. This is an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now the Jimmy Durante program from April 24th, 1950 on NBC. The program itself would go off the air in June of that year, where Jimmy Durante would turn to radio's big show on the same network to pretty much ride out his radio career. This among the last surviving broadcasts of his NBC radio run in his own program, featuring co-stars Don Ameche, Barbara Jo Allen, and the talented Florence Hallop.
From Hollywood, The Jimmy Durante Show, starring Jimmy Durante and Don Ameche with Vera Vague.
Ink, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkity. Oh, what a tune to call. I get cozy, a dinkity, a dinkadoo, a dinkity.
Say, Jimmy, I see you got that healthy look from working in your garden. Tell me, how's your garden doing?
Great, Donzie, great. I've got the most unusual flowers of the year, roses.
What's so unusual about getting roses?
I planted chrysanthemums.
It's the Jimmy Durante Show with Don Ameche, Vera Vague, Roy Varghi and his orchestra, and yours truly, Howard Petrie.
Well, big league baseball season opened this Tuesday, and like guys all over the country, Jimmy and I could think of nothing but baseball. In fact, for the past few days, we both sneaked out to get in a little practice. But there was just one little trouble, my wife. One afternoon, while I was waiting on the front porch for Jimmy to pick me up, she finally cornered me.
Donald Ameche, are you going out to play baseball with that Durante again?
Yes, dear.
Oh, you think more of playing baseball than you do of your own family.
Oh, that's not true.
Baseball. What about our 6 children?
As soon as we get it up to 9, we'll play them. But there's no harm if a fella goes out and plays a little ball.
How do I know that's all you do? Especially when you're with Durante. Maybe you meet a couple of girls and take them to a movie.
Oh, don't be silly, darling. I haven't been to a movie in months.
Then how about taking me to the Bijou tonight? They have that new Vaughn Monroe picture, Singing Gun.
Oh, I saw that last night. I mean, I came back from the ballpark early and you weren't home, so I went to a movie alone. Say, come to think of it, you weren't home the last few nights before that either. Where were you?
Well, I don't see why I have to explain my actions if you can't explain yours any better. The way you always run around. Everywhere Durante goes, you have to go.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I stay home while you follow the cry of the wild gnome.
Now, don't change the subject. I'd still like to know where you've been the last few nights. And I... Oh, here comes Jim in his car. Now, we'll talk about it later. Hey, Jim, it's kind of crowded on this side. You better park across the street.
Nonsense. I'll park right between these two cars. Here goes. The space now to park the car. I'm also a devil in a supermarket with my wire basket.
Jim, you should have parked across the street. There's more room there.
But that would mean I'd have to walk across the street, and that's too dangerous. I did that yesterday, and a car hit me and knocked me 500 feet in the air. Then they arrested me.
What for?
For leaving the scene of the accident. Funny, huh, Mrs. Ameche? Pretty funny.
Oh, what a revolting person.
Jim, maybe we better call it off for today. You see, my wife doesn't like the idea.
Don't be silly, Don. We'll take her along. Come on, Mrs. Ameche. You could play baseball with us.
Me? Play baseball?
Sure, you're still in shape for it.
Well, thank you.
Come on, Don. Let's take your wife out on the field and swing the old bat.
Can he mean things so sweet and make them come out so sour?
Mr. Durante, you are an unmitigated, uninhibited bore whose aberrational idiosyncrasies are exceeded only by your insipid cognizance of social amenities.
Wait a minute. Do you mean to say I'm an unmitigated, uninhibited bore whose aberrational idiosyncrasies are exceeded only by my insipid cognizance of social amenities?
Yes! You are an unmitigated, uninhibited bore whose aberrational idiosyncrasies are exceeded only by your insipid cognizance of social amenities.
She wins. I could never make that trip again.
What I want to know is how did he ever make the first one? Look, dear, I'll be back at 8 and we can have dinner somewhere together, huh?
At 8? Oh, well, I won't be home at 8.
Stepping out on your sprouts, huh, Mrs. Ameche?
Stepping out your... Darling, where are you going today?
I don't think I have to explain anything to you. I'm going upstairs now. If Mr. Durante wants something to drink, show him to the medicine chest.
What's she up to now? Women, they cause all the trouble.
Yeah, women. Sometimes I think this world would be better off if there was no such thing as women. Just men and children. There's a flaw in that statement, but I just can't seem to find it.
Can't understand what my wife has been up to these last few nights. It couldn't be another man.
You can never tell. I knew a fellow who suspected his wife of going around with other fellas. So to get her away from them, he moved to a lonely house way up on the top of a high hill. But he was still suspicious.
Why?
He kept meeting too many guys who were out of breath. You know something, Don?
What?
He was especially worried about one guy with a climbing rope who yodeled.
Well, I'm not really suspicious, but I would like to know what's going on. I'll get that. Yeah, hello. What's that? What? Now, wait a minute. I just... Hello. Oh, he hung up. Jim, that was some Frenchman called Charles Duval telling my wife to show up again at 8 tonight.
Amiche, it's happened. You're face to face with the internal rectangle.
I know it. It's my own fault, too. I neglected her too much. There goes my wife, my home, nothing left.
Donzo, you still have me.
You? When I come home from a hard day's work, could you light up my camels for me, put on my slippers, and bring me the evening papers?
I'll take on that job.
Could you make the world seem like a brighter place with just the magic of your gay laughter?
I'll take on that job.
Could you make me forget my troubles just by sitting close and letting me run my fingers through your thick, wavy hair?
Where do I go to get my unemployment insurance?
Wait a minute. This is silly. I'm going upstairs and talk this over with my wife. Maybe even apologize.
Hold it, Amiche. That's the wrong approach. You've got to fight fire with fire. Make her jealous. Go out with another woman.
Say, maybe it wouldn't hurt at that. She has been taking me for granted lately. Yeah, Jim, you're right. I'm not going up to my wife and apologize. Now, what girl did you have in mind?
Vera Vague.
I'm going up to my wife and apologize.
Wait a minute, Don. Wait a minute. You've got to do this to save your cannibal bliss. As the poet said, blessing on thee, little man, barefoot boy with cheek of tan.
Jimmy, what has that saying got to do with what we're talking about?
Nothing, but it's the only one I know, and one of these days I'm bound to hit a situation where it'll fit. Come on, let's go over to Vera Vague's house and start on Operation False Amour.
Over, and the reason I won't be here at 8 is... Oh, he's gone. Well, maybe I'll keep it as a surprise as I originally planned. When he sees that portrait I'm having painted of me by Charles Duval, I know he'll be delighted.
Say, Jim, maybe I better go in first and talk to Miss Vague by myself, huh?
All right. Meanwhile, I'll go buy Miss Vague some perfume.
Perfume?
Yeah, I know a kind that's terrific. Yeah. I once had a date with a blonde before I brought her to her. I dabbed some on me to test it.
Well, did you enjoy your date with a blonde?
What blonde? It smelled so good I stayed home all night and danced with myself. See you in a nunch, Don.
Okay, Jim. Well, this is Miss Vague's apartment over here. Now, how can a woman be so careless? She left her purse lying right on the floor. I better pick it up. That's Vera Vague, all right.
Oh, Mr. Amici, it's you. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can I make up for it by serving you a little lunch?
Well, thank you. Could you fix me a hard-boiled egg sandwich?
Well, no, I'm afraid not. For some reason, I can't seem to make a hard-boiled egg.
Well, how come?
Well, every time I get the chicken in the hot water, she refuses to lay one.
Look, forget the lunch. The reason I came over was to ask you a rather personal question.
Yeah.
Would you consider being my girlfriend for an evening?
Oh, Mr. Amici, what fun!
Yeah, now wait a minute. Oh.
We'll have a wonderful evening. We'll drive up the hill here near my home, and we can be alone on Lookout Mountain.
Oh, you don't know your geography. That's Eagle Point, not Lookout Mountain.
You don't know me. If I ever get you alone on that mountain, look out!
Look, Miss Vague, you don't understand. You aren't actually going to be my girl. The whole thing is going to simply be an act to make my wife jealous.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But it really has to be convincing. I want you to act like you really like me. You know, pretend you're throwing your arms around me, holding me close, squeezing me, kissing me. Do you think you can do that?
Shake hands with next year's Academy Award winner.
I got a feeling this won't work at all. Miss Vague, I don't believe my wife would ever be jealous of you. You're not glamorous enough.
Not glamorous enough? Well, at the beauty parlor, I'm taking a course of 8 treatments that are guaranteed to make me the most beautiful girl in town. And I've already taken 7 of them.
Boy, that 8th one must be a pip. I must have my little joke.
It's what your mother said when you were born.
Hey, that's beside the point. I'm here to find out if you... Well.
Greetings, my little lovebirds. I assume everything is all arranged.
Jimmy, I'm glad you got here. I've been thinking it over, and I'm convinced that Miss Vague isn't the one to make
just
me...
Just a moment, Donzie. Just a moment. First, allow me to present Miss Vague with this precious little gift.
Oh!
Mademoiselle, please accept this perfume with which to grace your vanity stable.
How exciting! Is that the one for $12 a bottle called Tonight's the Night?
No.
No? Is it the $8 bottle, Tonight or Never?
No.
The $3 bottle, Tonight We Love?
No.
Well, what is it?
I paid 85 cents for it. It's called Possibly the Day After Tomorrow.
Say, Jim. Jim, can I talk to you alone out in the hall for a minute?
Sure thing, Amich. Don't forget, Miss Vague, tonight we rendezvous at my residue.
Okay, Jimmy.
Now, what is it, Donzie?
Jimmy, I can't go through with this. My wife would never take anyone like Miss Vague seriously. It'd be a waste of time.
Well, Miss Vague isn't the only fish in the sea. I've got a lot of girlfriends of my own that I can fix up with. You see, women have been going crazy about me lately.
Lately? What's the improvement?
It's my nice pink skin reflecting the glow of my red blood corpuscles. Let me tell you how I got that. Somehow I feel like I got a brand new physique. To lift a ton would just be baby's play. And I want to tell you all, I used to be weak. But oh, how things have changed as of today. I want you to know, folks, I weigh 140 pounds, stooped over. I got to weigh myself stooped over. I can't get the bedroom scale out from under the sink. Should have been bedroom, I said ballroom. Yes, I just got my massage. And am I really the healthy one? Cause, pal, that's really living. It's great, it's fun. Yes, I'm a madman. For a massage, I'm blubber. For a guy who is a rubber, I'm a madman. For a massage, I'm a fool, but I'm a fool for eucalyptus oil. What a shame. Each guy is quite a tussle, cause it takes 1 hour just to find one muscle. It's music. When my masseur starts to hurt my vertebrae, my massage takes all day. I just lie there and pose. They spend an hour on my body, 23 on my nose. It must be great, cause I'm a state. My masseur's looking great. Yes, I'm a madman for a massage. Folks, I just had to build myself up. I used to be a 98-pound weakling, and was it humiliating? One day I went to the beach, and a 200-pound bully kicked sand in my face. So what did I do? I went to a gymnasium and built myself up to 200 pounds, too. Then I went back to that very same beach looking for that guy, and what happened? A 400-pound bully kicked sand in my face. You know, the latest thing in the movies is having the male stars expose their physique. Alan Ladd comes out on the screen stripped to the waist. Clark Gable comes out stripped to the waist. Victor Nature comes out stripped to the waist. But when I come out on the screen, all eyes are upon me. I'm the only one who exposes shorts designed by Gorgeous Gussie. It must be great, cause I mistake my masseuse looking great. Yes, I'm a madman for a massage. Yes, sir, I'm a madman for a massage.
Well, Jimmy had poked his nose into my life again. Because of a combination of circumstances, I was a little suspicious of my wife, and Jimmy immediately devised a plan of counterattack. Let my wife see me with another girl and make her jealous. So there we were at Jim's house trying to figure out what girl.
Don't worry, Don. Durante will be able to get you your choice of feminine females.
Yeah. Please, please, Jim, don't start with all those stories about how many girls you know.
I don't want to brag, Don, but you see this little black book in my hand?
Yeah?
See all those names and addresses in them?
What about them?
That's no milk route. You know something? I got them classified according to a system. In the front part of the book, I got the names of the girls who nick.
What about the back part?
I'm happy to report there ain't no back part. There's no room for slackers on the Rennie's list.
Well, let's see what girls you have. Betty, cuddly type. Phyllis, when you take out on date, will only kiss you goodnight.
But, Don, I solved that problem.
How?
Short date, long goodnight.
Oh, brother. Jim, I can't go out with any of these girls. Haven't you got any that are high class?
You just came to it, Don. The one right here. I'll call her right up. This one is real class. Hello. Sam's Garage. Lubrication Department. Lubrication Department. Bottom pit, please. Hello. I'd like to speak to Crankcase Mabel. Oh, she's out, huh? Goodbye.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, she wouldn't have been much fun anyway. I once took her to a drive-in movie, and it wasn't as romantic as I thought it'd be.
Well, what do you mean?
While I was sitting in the front seat eating popcorn, she was underneath the car draining the oil.
Jim, look, let's forget about the whole thing. Maybe I'll just have a heart-to-heart talk with my wife and tell her I forgive her, huh?
No, Don, you've got to teach your wife a lesson. You have to sashay with another femme.
Well, maybe so, but we can't...
I'll get the door.
Relax, boys. It's your friendly manicurist, Hot Breath Hallahan.
Attention! Attention, census takers. This is weight coming back and counting twice. But, Hot Breath, you've got grass all over your shoes. You've been walking on my nice little lawn again.
Well, I couldn't help it. You know that sign outside that says, keep off the grass?
Yeah.
When I came by, it went back in the ground and another one popped up that said, trample on me, I love it.
They're building lawnmowers like that. I'm going to buy one.
Quit the kidding, boys. I came over to give Mr. Durante his weekly manicure.
Forget the manicure, Hot Breath. Fate has dropped you into our laps. Donzie, don't you see?
Yeah, I get it. She's the one to make my wife jealous.
Wait a minute. I refuse to be mixed up in a conspiracy against a member of my own sex. Remember, boys, I too am a woman.
Believe me, Hot Breath, there's never been any doubt in my mind.
It wouldn't be much, Hot Breath. When my wife comes in, all you have to do is give me a little kiss.
A little kiss?
Yeah.
Listen, tall, dark, and... see all those nice, white, shiny teeth of yours? Well, one kiss from me.
Yes?
Charcoal cubes.
Well, she has the fire going. Anybody got some steaks?
Well, I'll go through with this, Mr. Amici, but I warn you, I might make you forget your wife.
You make me forget my wife, Loreen? You make me forget Loreen? Just because you've got that gorgeous hair, that beautiful face, that lovely figure, you make me forget... by the way, Jim, what is my wife's name?
Never mind that. With her around, I can't even remember my own name. But Hot Breath, I bet you're a little disappointed that it's not me you're gonna make love to.
Don't be so sure, Banana Beak. You see, Mr. Amici is very handsome. He goes to my head like bubbling champagne.
What about me?
When I can get bubbling champagne, what would I want with flat old root beer?
Yeah, maybe so, but remember, you can only get champagne on special occasions. Root beer is always around when you want it. But Hot Breath, let's get back to the business of making Don's wife jealous. Can you be back here at 7 o'clock?
Sure. And to help things along, I'll wear my strapless, backless, and sideless dress.
Strapless, backless, and sideless. Won't it fall off?
What did you say?
I said, won't it fall off?
Why should it? It can't think of a better place to go. Well, so long until tonight, Rover boys.
So long, Hot Breath.
closer we're getting to this, the more nervous I'm getting. There's still time to call the whole thing off.
Meech, how can you talk like that? Remember that famous Latin saying? In hoc signa vincere il pluribus human by Tresti?
That's kind of cute. What does that mean in English?
If I knew what it meant in English, would I go to the trouble of saying it in Latin? Everything's set, Don. I called up your Sprouse and she'll be right over.
Oh, that's swell, Jim. Hot Breath and I are going to the next room, and when I hear you open the door, we'll fly into each other's arms. Let's go, Hot Breath.
Okay, honey.
That's Mrs. Amici at the door now. I'll get it.
Mr. Durante, you said you have something very important to tell me. Now, I haven't got much time. What is it?
Mrs. Amici, I've got shocking news. Don has been going out with other women. He's a philanderist.
I don't believe it. I do Don's laundry, and not once have I seen lipstick on his handkerchief.
Why do you think he grew that mustache? After he kisses a girl, he uses it to blot up the evidence. And if you still don't believe me, let me show you what's in the next room.
Well, make it fast. I've got my regular 8 o'clock appointment to sit for my portrait by Charles Duvall. It's a surprise for Don.
8 o'clock, portrait. Brother, have we been laboring under a misprint, aren't you? She's perfectly innocent.
Oh, please, stop that mumbling and show me what's in the next room.
It's really not important. I just called you over to help me on some instructions. You see, I'm knitting little booties.
You're knitting little booties? What for?
I noticed a clause in my hospital insurance that entitles me to 4 free weeks in a maternity ward.
You can't become a mother.
Those men know their business. If they think I have a chance, I gotta try and make good.
Oh, this is really getting ridiculous. But there's something wrong. I'm going to see what's in the next room.
It's not necessary. I really just called you over to ask you what time it is. You see, I haven't got a clock in the house. What do you know? That ship is going down my street again.
A ship going down your street?
Certainly. This is California. They want a chance at the pedestrians like everyone else.
Well, if you really wanted the time, you could have found out by calling the phone company.
I can't. My phone is out of order.
Oh, yeah? Your phone just rang.
I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear it again. And besides, I just remembered I've run out of Camels. Come on. Let's walk a mile for one.
Oh, now stop. I'm going into that next room and see what's there.
Mrs. Amici, you can't. Wait a minute.
Now stop holding me back.
But please.
Get your hands off me.
Please.
Hey, Jim, I've been wondering where. Jimmy! My wife is in your arms. Oh, I see it all now. You're the one she's been running around with.
Holy smokes, I've created a Frankenfooter.
What are you talking about, Don? He was just trying to keep me from going into the next room.
That's right. I found out our 8 o'clock meetings were just to have a portrait painted.
Portrait painted? Oh, darling, what a relief. I'll never doubt you again. There's no question of it. You're a one-man woman and I'm a one-woman man.
Sounds confusing, but I'm sure they can sort it out when they get home.
Yes, dear, I'd never look at another woman.
Amici, boy, I'm ready to give you that kiss you've been waiting for. Here goes.
Hot breath.
Donald Amici, there must be an explanation for this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, why explain, Mrs. Amici? Your husband just found someone with a more exciting figure.
Hot breath, cut it out.
Well, you do have a nice figure, dear. I always said that lumps would come back into style.
Now, girls, please.
Nice figure indeed. Why, I'll match my legs against yours any day.
Don't be silly. Your legs don't even match each other.
Get out the catnip. These girls may need refreshments between rounds.
Look, darling, we just got hot breath to make you jealous. Believe me, there is no other woman.
Well...
Don G, my lover boy! Let me throw my arms around you.
Another one!
They keep coming in. What a spot for an enchilada stand. Don, we forgot to stop Miss Bay.
You got me into this, Jim. Now do something.
This has all been a mix-up. Vera, you go home. And Don, You take your wife home and explain the mix-up to her. And Hot Brett, you stay here.
What for?
If this is going to be an evening of mix-ups, I want to get mixed up with something good.
Good night, Mr. Durante.
Good night, Don. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
The Jimmy Durante Show was produced and directed by Phil Cohan. Listen in again next Friday night when Jimmy Durante, Don Ameche, and Vera Vague will be back in Hollywood.
Next, William Bendix stars in The Life of Riley on NBC.
The Jimmy Durante Show on Tuned 2 yesterday from April 24th, 1950 on NBC. Closing out this hour of comedy on Tuned 2 yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.